Track 1, Identifying How Trauma Affects a Specific Client. Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. Hi, my name is James Brennan. I will be the narrator of this CD set. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with trauma. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of the content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is used only once. Keep in mind, there is nothing trick or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of the CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally, I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as identifying how trauma affects a specific client, re-experiencing the trauma, adaptation reactions to trauma, depression and PTSD, clients' emotional comprehension, survivor guilt and self-destructive behaviors, three levels of victimization, triggers, coping with triggers, recalling the trauma, emotional recall, unresolved anger, unresolved grief, and empowerment. So let's get started. On the rest of this track, I'll present a few ways to identify the way trauma affects a client, the extent of the trauma, anger, and guilt. We will also present two techniques, the trauma questionnaire and benefits and costs. Number one, the extent of the trauma. In treating PTSD, I believe it is necessary to identify what type of trauma a client or group of clients have experienced. I feel that the extent of the trauma is more relevant to the effect of the PTSD on the client than the client's past or present psychological state. As you know, there are some traumatic events that would affect anyone exposed, such as the recent rise in PTSD after 9/11. Michael, a teenage client of mine, was referred to me by his high school guidance counselor, who said that he had been fighting with the teacher and classmates at school, and that his grades had been plummeting. Michael had been shipped from foster home to foster home his whole life, and had finally settled in a permanent residence. His guidance counselor believed that something at his new home had happened to cause the change in his grades, but Michael refused to talk with her. Once he was referred to me, I witnessed the same behavior that Michael had shown to the school counselor. Silence. The only thing he would say angrily is, "I don't want to talk about it." I believe that Michael could be exhibiting symptoms of PTSD, and perhaps was trying to repress the memories that kept trying to push their way out. To help Michael begin to talk about the event without having to take the first leap of talking about it, I asked him to fill out a 7-question trauma questionnaire. I requested Michael answer the questionnaire in a journal and to quietly read it back to himself. When he said again, "I don't want to talk about it," I responded, "But you're not talking about it. You're writing and reading about it." He seemed to be receptive. The questions I gave Michael included the following. Although many questions may not apply to Michael, I felt the general nature of the questionnaire would be beneficial. Number 1. Have you ever been in a natural catastrophe, such as an earthquake, fire, or flood? Number 2. Were you ever sexually or physically assaulted, either by a stranger, a group of teenagers, a family member, or anyone else? Number 3. As a child, were you physically maltreated with excessive beatings or spankings? Were a parent's or caretaker's disciplinary measures sadistic? Number 4. Have you ever witnessed the death, torture, rape, or beating of another person? Have you ever seen someone die or be badly injured in a car, airplane, or other such accident? Have you ever been injured in such an accident? Number 5. Has anyone in your family or a close friend been murdered? Number 6. As a child, did you ever witness the beating, rape, murder, torture, or suicide of a parent, caretaker, or friend? Number 7. Have you ever been in a situation in which you felt that you or a member of your family would be harmed or killed? Even if your life or the lives of your family members were not directly threatened, did you distinctly fear that you or they were in serious danger? The next session, Michael had written in his journal about an accident that had taken place about a month ago. He said that while he was walking home, he saw someone robbing a gas station. Michael watched the perpetrators run out of the station and hijack a car, and also witnessed them beating the owner of the car, even though she had already let them take the vehicle. Michael told me that he had feared for his life and had hidden behind a trash bin so the perpetrators could not see him. Now that he had related this incident to me, I could see where Michael's anxieties were coming from. Number 2. Anger. Second, we will briefly discuss anger as a reaction to trauma. One of Michael's principal symptoms of his PTSD was, obviously, his anger as exhibited by his angry tone of voice in therapy and fights at school. He frequently lashed out at teachers and classmates, which was a new behavior for Michael. I feel that Michael's anger was an attempt to control the environment around him. When he witnessed the robbery, Michael described the feeling scared and ashamed for having to hide behind a dumpster. He now wishes he could have helped the driver of the car that had been beaten, but instead, he ran away. To cope with this feeling of helplessness, Michael used his anger to manipulate his surroundings. Think about your client who chronically displays anger. Could that client have been the survivor of a traumatic event, childhood abuse perhaps? We will discuss anger in detail on a later track. To help Michael control his anger, which I believe he used to cope with his feelings of helplessness by manipulating his surroundings, I asked Michael to try the benefits and costs technique. I asked Michael to take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle of it longways. On one side, I asked him to write benefits in capital letters and then write the good things about my anger are. Then, on the other side of the paper, I asked him to write costs in capital letters and then write the bad things about my anger are. Next, I told Michael to list on the benefits side the things he gains from displaying anger and on the costs side what he loses from displaying anger. Under the benefits, Michael listed, I feel that people will do what I say when I'm mad. If I don't show that I'm angry, I feel like I'll explode. And my anger can protect me from people who want to hurt me. Under costs, Michael wrote, my friends are afraid of me now. I get so mad at my teachers that I don't want to learn anything. I feel embarrassed that I could hurt everyone else's feelings. Now that Michael had identified that anger can have negative results, he could more easily be aware of his motives for becoming angry. Number 3. Guilt. Another manifestation of PTSD is a feeling of guilt or shame. Some trauma survivors, in trying to fight their feelings of helplessness, blame themselves for not doing anything. This was the case with Michael. When he hid behind the dumpster, he felt that he was being a coward and not helping the woman who was badly beaten by the carjackers. Michael felt ashamed that he was the one who could hide and she couldn't. I then addressed these feelings in a format I like to call if I could do it over technique. First, I asked Michael, what would you have done to help the woman? Michael replied, I could have tried to fight them. I then said, Michael, did they have guns? He stated that, yes, they did have guns. I asked, how many were there? Michael said, at least 3. I then asked, Michael, what do you think would have happened had you tried to play the hero? Michael responded, I guess they might have shot me and then probably have shot the lady. As you can see, by examining in detail the result of his fantasy hero actions, Michael could finally realize his helplessness and begin to accept it as an unavoidable consequence of trauma. On this track, we presented a few ways to identify how trauma can affect a client, analyzing the extent of the trauma, anger, and guilt. We also presented 2 techniques, the trauma questionnaire and if I could do it over technique. On the next track are the 3 ways clients re-experience a traumatic event: sleep disturbances, flashbacks, and emotional recall. We will also include a technique to help you identify what type of trauma re-experience your client is undergoing. Question 1. What are 3 ways to identify how trauma can affect a client?